This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
We're hosting a frontline services roundtable on People First Radio today, or more accurately, three roundtables. In our first segment, we're joined by City Planner John Horn, Loaves and Fishes, Joanne Dundas, and Salvation Army's New Hope Center Coordinator, Rob Anderson.
Joanne Dundas, you told the Nanaimo Daily News that current demand at the food bank is greater than anything you've seen in over 7 years as executive director. Tell us about that demand.
Oh, my goodness. It sort of crept up on us in November, and the numbers started to climb. Last year, we were seeing, on average, about 700 adults and 400 children were receiving food from us a week. And all of a sudden, in January and February, we've jumped to sending food home to 1,000 adults and about 600 children every week. You know, it's a huge increase and really is an expression of what's going on in the community right now.
Rob Anderson, you have food-related programs at the Salvation Army as well. What are you experiencing there?
Well, in our emergency hamper program, we've seen a 30% increase since November in the number of applicants that are coming in, number of families that we're assisting. Mm-hmm. And again, as Joanne said, that sort of took us a little bit by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything like this before, Rob, in your experience, in your work?
Not to this extent. We've seen gradual fluctuations in numbers, but not what we've seen in the last 2, 3, 4 months.
Yes. John Horn, in terms of social planning and in terms of the impact on social programs and the social fabric, so to speak, of the community, what are you seeing and what are you thinking about in terms of observing the demand for services as they increase, particularly for a food bank and food support?
Well, clearly the demand in the food support programs is indicative of people's resources around financial resources. Mm. So there's a big impact, obviously, in people's ability to buy their own food and take care of their own needs that way. So it's a bit of a concern to all of us.
Is it popping up at discussion tables? Has it reached the point where people are identifying food security challenges as being major issues to be dealt with, let's say, immediately?
Yes, it has. There's two streams to that. One is around local production of food, around where's our food coming from, and food security in general. So that's a bigger piece around local agriculture, et cetera. Mm. But certainly around people's individual needs in that regard, there's a big, there's lots of discussion these days about how we're going to meet that need and support folks in finding enough food.
Joanne, what are your immediate plans? What is the organization doing to try to cope with this increasing demand as you go into the spring and into the summer months?
We're running right on the edge of our budget right now, and we are taking a look at how we organize the sort of the groupings of food that we give out. We would like to try to move away from some of the foods that have increased terribly in cost, like canned fruit and vegetables, and maybe move towards more fresh produce. Mm. So far, we haven't had to make any big adjustments because the community has been fabulous in their response. The other thing, just on what John said about food security, I think it's really important to know that the programs like the Salvation Army and ourselves are actually a guard against homelessness. Yes. Because people take money from food to try to pay their rent.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
I'm curious to see if there will be any increase in ministry funds with regards to individuals getting an increase in their budgets. Rob, recent news reports suggest that the Salvation Army was going to stop serving the free lunch. Can you comment on that and update us?
Yes, Jen. I guess a lot of misinformation got out to the general public. There was no plans at all of closing the free meal program or making any adjustments to the numbers or regulating it. It just had to be that because of challenges, other challenges that we had, we were just unable to provide it at noon. So we were looking at a different time of the day where we could better serve the public and the community.
Are you able to share that information with us, Rob, what the new times are?
Well, what we have done is our biggest challenge was monitoring the crowds. We had seen an increase in the number of people that were using the services, as well as that coupled with not having the staff to monitor the crowds. We had lineups and that in front of our building, which we try not to have. So what we were looking at doing is providing it later on in the day when we had staff.
Mm-hmm. John, can you comment on some of the information that was in the newspaper with regards to some of the local businesses being disturbed about the crowds and things of that nature?
Well, absolutely. When we originally opened the New Hope Center, we entered into an agreement with the surrounding neighbors, the businesses and residents in that area, that we would all do our best to manage the sort of the crowd situation and the impacts on folks who don't access services there. And so we absolutely appreciate the Salvation Army's willingness to come to the table and say, look, we have a fairly crowd management problem here. How are we going to solve it? And so that's been a really good opportunity for us to evaluate, well, how are we serving that program? How could it otherwise be delivered, et cetera, to diminish the sort of stress on the Salvation Army site?
Mm-hmm. And Joanne, do your clients who receive food from the food bank, do they also utilize the Salvation Army's programs? Do you know?
Certainly they do. Rob tells me that when we're open on Monday and Thursday that the lunch crowd is somewhat larger than other days. And I think, you know, when people are in poverty, it's really good if they can do more than one thing in a day, and so they're not using up all of their energy just surviving.
Rob, I'm wondering, before we move on with another question, if there's anything else you'd like to add about the structure of the lunch program or anything you'd like to clarify in terms of, you know, discussion that's happened in the community or things that have been reported in the media.
Well, one of the main things is I'd like to share is that we did meet with a group of patrons from the meal program. Okay. And out of that meeting, we've had some people come forward that will volunteer to help monitor the crowds.
Yes.
Okay, help get the correct information out there. And that. So what we've done is the decision has been to keep the meal program at noon. We will continue to monitor it and meet with this ad hoc group on a regular basis to look at the challenges that we face.
Okay. All right. John Horn, there have been comments in the media about money promised from government, whether it's federal or provincial levels of government, and questions about actual expenditures made and the common phrase that's used is shovel-ready or not shovel-ready. Are things on track for promised social and supportive housing in Nanaimo?
Yeah, the process for building new apartment buildings, et cetera, is quite a lengthy one. So we're moving along as fast as these things can move. And so there's been no indication whatsoever from government that there's any change in their commitments to us. So we anticipate that will be proceeding as we've set out and laid out for the public.
Was there anything in the provincial budget, the most recent provincial budget, that would have given you cause for worry in this area?
No. One of the things that does impact our plans is that the Ministry of Income and Employment Assistance, who have now moved into housing and social development, typically they have a surplus at the end of the year if there's an undertake on welfare. But that surplus is not available this year. They've had a jump in demand. So usually we go to them and ask for capital dollars at the end of the fiscal year to do acquisitions and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's probably not going to be on the table this year. So that's the one thing we're sure of. We won't have sort of acquisition money that might be available in other years.
Okay. Joanne Dundas, one of the things that we read in the media recently was that the physical space that the Loaves and Fishes operates out of is in desperate need of repairs and that will cost a certain amount of money. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we're getting ready for it as we speak. We have some repairs to do inside to ceiling, which is going to affect our operation some for a couple of weeks. And we are currently costing out and talking to the city as well about some help with we need a new roof and we need to refurbish the siding. Mm-hmm. We're in a heritage building. It's 100 years old. It used to be the mine rescue station, so it's still doing a rescue job. We're looking at a capital campaign in the neighborhood of $50,000-$70,000 to just keep the building standing. And at the same time, we're experiencing some of the same crowding problems. Last year, we tried to improve that by opening a satellite at Brecon United Church. And for a couple of months, well, for about 6 months, that went wonderfully. And now both sites are quite crowded. Mm-hmm. So we may be looking for another satellite site at some time. But to do that is also something that will cost more money, and the changes to the building safety and maintaining the building will be coming first.
This is a quick roundtable discussion that we're having here today on People First Radio. And before we close this segment out, which zipped by, I must say, I'm wondering both particularly Rob and Joanne, if you have any particular needs that you would like to communicate to the community now in terms of food, in terms of donations or whatever that you see is particularly reaching, let's say, a challenging level at this point in time. Rob?
Well, we could always use donations of food, non-perishable food items. This year, we're going through our reserve a lot quicker than we have in the past, and we use the non-perishable items in both our hamper program and the meal programs.
Mm-hmm. How do people donate food to the Salvation Army?
There are we have boxes in some of the grocery stores. And if they want to contact us, we can either pick up or they can drop off at any of the Salvation Army centers.
Okay, Joanne.
I want to thank the community for the response that we've been getting. You're keeping an ear to the ground and know what our needs are, and the response has been fabulous. This is a wonderful city, and I'm, you know, keep it up, folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's so far so good.
We're holding our own right now.
All right.
Only because, you know, we're the hands that share the generosity of this community.
Yes. Keep us posted on your needs or what you see happening. We're particularly interested in helping to bring this forward. John, I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add. We have about a minute left in this segment, and then we're going to take a break and listen to some music.
Well, just to say that one way we might help the Salvation Army deal with the numbers is to establish another place from which we could serve lunch. And certainly we're going to have some discussions over the next couple of weeks about what that might look like and where. Mm-hmm. And as you know, it's not so easy to establish a food program in the city. And we'll have to tackle that and see if we can pitch in and help out.
Absolutely. Thanks very much to all of you for joining us today. And it has gone very fast. We look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you.
In the future.
Thank you.
Thanks
a
lot. This is People First Radio. We're hosting roundtable discussion about frontline social and support services in Nanaimo today. We were joined in our first segment by City of Nanaimo social planner John Horn, Nanaimo's Loaves and Fishes Food Bank Executive Director Joanne Dundas, and the Salvation Army's New Hope Center Coordinator Rob Anderson. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.